That's right, another jam-packed volume of The Grind, volume 17 for you. As you just heard, we're going to be bringing you some stuff with Jim Ward from Sleepercar, former At The Drive-In, as well as the band Sparta. After that, we have some stuff with Wade McNeil from his new project, The Black Lungs. They were on tour with City and Color, a Dine Alone Records tour. Really great show. Wrapping up the show today on The Grind, we have an interview with Attackhead, metal band out of LA. You guys are going to like it. We're going to try and bridge it from like alt-country singer-songwriter type stuff into metal by the time we get to the end of the show. Right now, this is Sleepercar with Sound the Alarm.
Your Christmas speech, and it seems that that's down to the street during Yeah. That's the girls' level. That's the girls' level.
taken you all the way back to 1998 off of their release In Casino Oat that was at the drive-in with Hula Hoop Wounds. That last track that we heard by Sleeper Car was called Stumble In. And all of that stuff is on a brand new album on Dynalone Records called West Texas. I highly recommend you pick it up or check out the live show if you have an opportunity. Also touring with Sleeper Car was Wade McNeil with his new project, The Black Lungs. We're going to hear a track off that. This is Hold Fast, Sink or Swim, The Black Lungs on The Grind, Volume 17.
Seems to be a trend, especially with the Lenses and Fire Towers, when you're doing the city cars. Fire, you guys are playing the same festival as the Patriots, is that correct? get some inside information through some people at the Grand House that might be doing something on that station in the future.
No one should have to live in shame. It's this absurdity that clouds your mind, pushes you away. What lies upon your door? Statues and hypocrites keep you in line and never falter.
Wade McNeil's new solo project, The Black Lungs, and that track right there was called Fire and Brimstone. Coincidentally, also a new release on Dynalone Records. Sticking with the Dynalone Records feel right now, in the last two interviews you heard mention of Attack in Black. That's another great band off of Dynalone, and we're going to be catching up with them on The Grind. Probably in another month or so we'll have that on air. That's going to be from the Calgary date of the Virgin Music Festival. Now, as I mentioned off the top of the show, we're going to wrap things up here with an interview with a metal band called Attackhead out of Los Angeles. How am I going to transition to that? Well, we're going to play some Alexis on Fire. This is off of their 2004 album, Watch Out. This is Get Fighted on The Grind on Punk Radio Cast.
Dance like there's no one watching you.
We're going to switch things up a little bit. We just listened to a little bit, some kind of softer stuff. Now we are getting into some skull-crushing heavy metal. We are on the phone with Mark and George from Attackhead. How are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Excellent, Chris.
Right on. Now, you guys are located down in sunny California, is that correct?
That's correct. Actually, our studio's in Santa Ana, right there off of the 55.
Right on. Now, I was doing a quick little bit of reading on you guys, and I see you have a big event coming up here at the end of June. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Mark?
Well, this is going to be basically our CD release party. Our CD came out roughly the end of February, mm-hmm. and we've just waited for a little bit to get the word out and get everybody on board before we kind of officially bring it out. Essentially, we're doing a live video shoot, live CD, and party all at the same time, and the show is actually also going to be webcast on airradio.net
cool.
Throughout the world, so you'll be able to log on to Air Radio and check that out as well. Well,
that was airradio.net, right?
Yeah, and it's spelled weird. It's A-I-I-R and then A-D-I-O.net.
Oh, okay. And now the whole thing itself is happening on the 28th of June, is that correct, down in Anaheim?
Yes. Saturday night, yes.
Sweet. I think you guys should have a big party going for that. I think there should be a lot of people coming over.
Well, we have tickets for sale, like Mark said. They're available on our website. We have a PayPal account set up, and anybody who wants to come check us out that's local to the SoCal area, feel free to get on to attackit.com and pick yourself up a ticket.
No, I was scanning some material here, and two words jumped out at me. This includes free beer. The free beer part really jumped out at me. You guys?
The free beer is what we're doing is, since it's kind of our party, we're just like a VIP type area. You mm-hmm. know, security's going to be there, doing age verification, and we're going to have a little VIP, beer garden room for Attackhead fans that are of age to come in and have free beer while supplies last. We're going to get a couple kegs.
Right on.
So it should be good. We'll probably just go with the popular domestic, some Bud Light.
Sweet. Can't go wrong with that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Let's give the listeners a little bit of a background history on Attackhead. What, if you're just tuning in right now, what can you expect? What can they expect if they're listening to some Attackhead music on the grind?
I think what we're basically about is, old school metal is for the most part. I would say if people are into Testament or Slayer or things like that, they'll mm-hmm. definitely be into what we got to offer, because it's very similar in that vein, and it's probably because that's what we all grew up on, and we're just playing what we've always loved, I guess. So
born and bred old school metal, hey? You gotta love that.
Yeah, totally.
Your new album is called Voices in the Dark. I had an opportunity to pick that up when I was down in the States recently from George. Thank you very much, George.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir.
It it has kept me awake on many long drives. Just the intensity that flows throughout the whole album. How much time did you guys put into the actual writing of and recording of this whole masterpiece here?
Well, I'll go with that one, George. Mainly the songs, probably a couple of years that we're developing all the songs. One of the songs on there, Waste of Life, actually I wrote in the early 80s, and it had several different names throughout the years, but I just wrote new lyrics for it and kind of, you know, updated it a little bit.
Okay.
But it was mainly, you know, we'd been, you know, just accumulating songs for a couple of years, and then finally got to a point where we had enough to be able to put on, you know, it's like an ongoing thing anyway, you know, there's always new stuff being written.
Always something in the works, right?
Yeah, we just benchmarked it at that point and decided to cut the CD. So.
Now, is this the first official release for Attackhead?
Yes, it is.
I was reading somewhere that you have plans for a video for that Waste of Life track that you were talking about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, actually, we already have the guy to shoot it and all the storyboards done. We're just looking for a location that'll be fitting, you know, some kind of beat-up warehouse mm-hmm. or something.
What kind of influences do you guys have for this band?
Pretty much everything, I think. George is, basically Maiden is their running theme.
Iron
fucking Maiden.
That's a running theme for everybody, I think, in the band, that we're all fans of Maiden.
At least the last couple of weeks for a lot of people, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, you know, we've all been listening to Maiden for many years, and obviously there's, you know, Testament and Slayer and a lot of the old school bands that we've all had, you know, grown up with, also kind of run in there, you know, along with like Black Label Society and
just
stuff
good guitarists who are just masters at their craft, you know. It's just back in the 80s when just, you know, it was so much excellence and accuracy and art to it, you know.
Now, do you think that a lot of, like, not just music in general, but let's talk about metal here. Do you think a lot of metal's been sort of watered down in the last few years?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the new bands that had come out, a lot of these guys seem to pick up a guitar, play for a year, decide to get in the band without actually having anything somewhat mastered, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean.
Yeah.
It's almost like they jumped the gun, and rather than spending the time woodshedding and doing all the stuff to get their chops up, they seem to want to jump right out on stage when they're probably not quite ready. And then, you know, one lost fan, you'll never get them back. So
I think
that's where some of the bands make mistakes, is that they go out before their time. You know, just spend some time in the studio and you know, wait 6 months and go out and chop their heads off, rather than you know, doing a half-assed attempt just to say you played somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta put the groundwork in and put in all that experience so that you're not making a fool of yourself on stage.
Absolutely.
I just think, like, with the new metal, there's just a lot of solo-less songs, and, mm-hmm. you know, some have good riffs, but you gotta have solos here and there, you know, maybe not necessarily every song, but just kinds that you can just hum to in your head and that you'll remember, and, you know, just, you know, not to sound cliche, but like Guns N' Roses, some of those songs, I mean, they're not the hardest solos in the world, but, you know, they just stand out, and people are going to remember them for years.
I mean, you can hear, like, just parts of a melody from one of the solos, and that just skyrockets that song right back into your head, so.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to a track from your new CD, Voices in the Dark. What do you guys want to hear right now?
George, why don't you pick that?
How about Lead the Blind?
That's
one of my favorites.
All right, let's do that. This is Lead the Blind on the Grind.
Take the day, shame and greed, do your deed.
Welcome back to The Grind. That was Attackhead with Lead the Blind. An awesome ripping metal track for you. Now, I was taking a look at the back of the CD, and I noticed a couple things. 5% of all profits from the sale of the CD go to benefit the Melanoma Research Foundation. Is that, you don't see a lot of bands or a lot of acts, especially non-super major touring bands, doing that kind of thing and putting that support out for a charity of this nature. Do you guys feel that's something that really needs to be done and followed by more bands?
Well, I started that up because my dad had died from a brain-related melanoma several years ago, three years ago. So, you know, I wanted something that brought the younger people's attention to that because so many people don't know what it is, and it happens to be, you know, pretty close to the number one killer amongst, you know, 20 to 30-year-olds, especially in women, that nobody really knows about, you know, and it's something that, you know, you can get as easy as just being outside and getting a sunburn. So we wanted to be able to bring some more attention to melanoma to a younger audience. So that, I mean, we're actually having flyers made up that you can just take one at one of our shows. It's kind of a souvenir brochure, but on the inside, it has all the stuff from the Melanoma Foundation about, you know, self-diagnosis and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't really expect other bands to do it, mainly because, you know, the whole cliche of most people are broke. But, you know, I figure 5% isn't going to be a lot of money into the cause, but I think the education is
the education and the awareness is something that that definitely is contributed. Now, also on the back of the CD here, I was seeing 918 Records. Is that, I'm not familiar with 918 Records. What's that? And let me know a little bit about that.
I would hope you're not familiar because it's kind of just the nothing. It's our own label that we had just put on there because we basically self-produced the CD ourselves and funded it and basically did everything on it ourselves. So we wanted to get it out there but not look like it's just some, you know, pressing you did in your garage or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to give some legitimacy to it, we have a record label right now that we're in final stages of negotiation with, and they were worried that, you know, there was only so much they could do for us if we were already signed to the record label.
Yep.
We had to kind of tell them, well, you know, it's really us, and you know, you don't have any limitations to what you can do for us and whatnot.
Cool. So what label are you guys in discussions with, if that's something
we're,
you can talk about right now?
We're working with Apocrypha Records out of San Francisco, and they're basically an extreme metal label and international distributor, and they're apparently the fastest growing metal label or metal only label that's around nowadays. So very artist friendly label. So we're working with him, and I've been talking with John, who's the president of it, and he's a really cool guy. So we're should have some good news on that within a couple weeks, hopefully. So
excellent. Well, that's good news. Now, is that going to open up the doors of opportunity for you guys to get out and tour some longer distances than you've done in the past?
Yeah, actually, speaking with them, we, you know, talked about doing, you know, a couple weeks in the winter and a couple weeks in the summer, and you know, just focusing on key areas. You know, you don't necessarily need to tour for 9 months if you hit the key places in those 2 weeks. So we're probably going to do, plans would be to do a couple weeks in the European areas, simply because we've had quite a bit of airplay and good reviews from Germany and Poland and stuff like that. So we want to get over there to play to that, but we also want to get out further in the States and do want to get up into Canada, because I know there seems to be a good metal crowd up there. That
oh, definitely. We like our metal. Now, just listening to the CD again the other day, and what always gets me is that first intro track. It's sort of a spoken word segment, I guess. What can you give me some? We'll play it here, and then give me some background on why you chose to put that not only on the CD itself, but written up within the inner liner.
Well, that's kind of the theme of the CD for the most part. I had written that part just about the way people seem to act. You know, it seems to play true when, you know, you listen to what's said, and people seem to think if, you know, as long as they go to church, they can behave like total assholes and it's perfectly okay. You know, they're going to be forgiven, so it's all fine, you know.
But then basically
the way that is kind of written is that they live their life that way, and then when they finally do die, then shit's a little different than they thought.
Yeah.
You know, because now they're getting paid back for all the stuff they've done in their lives that they thought they could just get away with.
Well, I have to say, it definitely gets me going because I know what's coming up after that. Let's get into Voices in the Dark right now. This is Attack Head on the Grind.
Your death.
That was Voices in the Dark, Attack Head on the Grind, Volume 17. We are sitting here chatting long-distance phone call-wise to Mark and George with Attack Head. Now, you guys have some shows coming up. Where all are you guys going to be playing?
Well, aside from our record release show, we're doing a gig out in Ventura at DJ's Pub Saturday, July 19th. We're also going to be doing a record store in Las Vegas called Zia Record Store. It's not the brand new one, but it's the older one out there off of Eastern Avenue.
I've heard something about playing in Hollywood, too.
We're going to be doing Hollywood the 12th of July, and that venue's yet to be determined. So we're waiting to hear back.
All right. So if you guys are in the area, any of those areas, make sure you get out to an Attack Head show. You will not regret, let me tell you. The question that I always like to pose to artists, the internet, it's here. We have to live with it. As an artist, does it bring you more pro or more con, more exposure or more headaches?
I think it's definitely a pro. I mean, I usually will spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, 3 or 4 days a week, simply working marketing on the internet. And it's, you know, in the couple of months that we've been doing it since this release, we've had a really good response from it, both from, you know, internet radio, podcasts, and, you know, heavy metal magazines that have done reviews and stuff like that, and webzines and things like that. And I think it's really gotten the word out, you know, a lot better than you could really any other way. I mean, it allows you to connect with somebody, you know, in England, press of a button, rather than trying to, you know, send snail mail or doing something like that. I think it's really, really helpful in that mean. I mean, some people say, what about people stealing music? And it's like, well, you know, if they take the music and they like it, then, you know, you're not, your whole CD ain't online for them to steal. So, you know, take a couple of tunes, and if they like it, maybe they'll buy the CD or download it or do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, it's just not like that didn't happen in the 80s anyway, when people bought vinyl and copied it onto cassette.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Or had the dual cassette deck. It makes it a little bit easier, obviously, but, you know, these popular sites like, you know, MySpace or Facebook, you know, they really, you know, oversaturate themselves with bands, and you know, that has pros and cons, but, you know, those type of things don't have to stop there. Like what Mark was, you know, alluding to with, you know, the internet radio play or podcasts, that really has helped us a lot over the last few months, and that's just something you couldn't do, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, definitely. Now, do you guys have any idea how the labels are going to, do you have any, you know, weird concepts that might jump out as hey, that's how the new industry is going to run? Because right now, I mean, everyone I've talked to in the past, if they're really affiliated with a label, more on the label side, they're always sort of like, well, this is, you know, really frightening. We can't get paid for what we used to be able to sell in stores. But you talk to a lot of these independent artists, and they're saying, hey, you know, we weren't making a lot of money in the past off this setup anyways. Do you have any concepts of how that might work?
Well, I think as far as, you know, obviously these days you don't need a label. However, you obviously, because we release that whole CD and are getting, you know, sales and stuff like that, downloads without a label. But I think where the roadblock is there are so many places, mainly like festivals and stuff like that, and, you know, certain record places that simply won't take you without that label connection.
You need to have that distribution agreement set up.
Exactly. I mean, with Apocrypha that we're working on, they're doing, you know, international distribution, so that both gets us in the record stores in Europe and, you know, Canada and in the U.S., but also like 300 downloadable sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we already have it on, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 downloadable sites, but, you know, he's saying there's like 300 of them. It's like, well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that a label can do for you that you didn't necessarily do for yourself. I mean, it's pretty rare to see a band playing, say, you know, a festival somewhere that's not a signed act.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, at this point, you know, the media changing to electronic form, it's mostly marketing support and promotion, if nothing else. And then that has tremendous value. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like you said, bands might not get paid, you know, enough anyway. But if they can't sell records, there's other ways to make money through merchandising, just getting the fans what they want and, you know, different venues.
The point is, if you're revolving solely around money, then you're in the wrong business.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
No, I mean, it should be that you're doing it because you love doing it, and, you know, the paycheck is a plus, but, you know,
it just helps you support.
The small percentage makes any money in the business. The rest of them just, mainly break even and have a good time. So,
and really, it's just supporting the habit of playing music that that a lot of these people have.
So supporting the social following of the music or the art following, and just keeping your own machine running and able to, you know, get out there and tour and with these gas prices and whatnot.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's rough. It's rough, and you know, any little bit helps.
Now, I understand you guys have a fan club, Riot Squad? The
Riot Squad, yes.
How can people go to get involved with that?
Well, if you want to sign up for the Riot Squad, it's real simple. You go to attackhead.com, and you click on the fan club section, and it'll take you to a page, and you can read about it. You can actually sign up right on the main page of the attackhead.com. If you scroll down to the bottom, you can sign up for either our mailing list that you just basically put in your internet address, and you'll get updates and everything from the band.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that, there's a sign up for the Riot Squad, and then you'd actually need to put your snail mail address in there, as well as your email. And with that, you get a free 8x10 autographed photo of the band and a sticker.
Yeah, right on.
Just by signing up to the Riot Squad. And what we're going to do eventually is, once things are rolling and there's enough membership in the Riot Squad, is that, you know, there'll be special stuff for those people, pre-sale tickets,
yep,
you know, discounts on merch and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, sweet. Any other sites that that people should be hitting note to see more Attackhead info?
Our main site, attackhead.com, has the most stuff on it. Obviously, we do have a MySpace, which is /Attackhead, and it has a fair amount of stuff on it as well. But the attackhead.com, I think, by far has the most.
All right, so if you're looking for info on what's going on with Attackhead, make sure you hit up one of those sites. Before we get going here, I just want to thank you guys and ask George, how was that Iron Maiden show? Did you go as well, Mark?
Mark didn't go. I went both nights. I went Friday and Saturday night, and those guys, what can I say? They've been doing it, and they're a master at their craft.
Yeah,
so,
awesome.
You know, they deliver. They give the audience what they want. I really admire their showmanship and try to model, you know, our professionalism, because you never see a disappointing Iron Maiden show. At least I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say? I was overwhelmed. It was excellent.
Right on. Well, just a little side note there, but Attackhead coming up, big show, June 28th in Anaheim at the Mirror Image Concert Theater. It is the CD release show. We've got a live CD recording as well as some video. So make sure you guys, if you're in the area or if you're going to be around there, make sure you hit that up. I just want to thank you guys for taking some time out of your day and talking to me on The Grind today.
Thank you for having us, Chris. It's been real fun.
Not a problem. What track should we be leaving everyone with?
I don't know. What do you think? Something like Taser, George?
Personally, I'm thinking Taser. So.
Let's give him some Taser, some all-instrumental, skull-crushing instrumental in your face.
Fucking right. This is Attackhead with Taser. We'll be right back.
metal. Well, I think we were able to run the musical gamut today. We started off with some slower stuff at the beginning of the volume with Sleeper Car. We had some Black Lungs in there, progressed our way through some Alexis on Fire, and of course topped things off with some skull-crushing heavy metal with an old-school edge that was Attack Head from LA with Taser. Just about done here for today, but as always, I'm going to remind you to hit up the Grind's MySpace page. That's /Burnside780, Burnside780. I'm constantly uploading, if I go to a live show, if I do an interview, I've got videos up there usually. I've got pictures, I've got all sorts of stuff. Fortunately, unfortunately, this week I've been a little bit behind, so the video with Jim Ward and with Wade McNeil is probably going to be up around this weekend. I was trying to have it up for today, but I just ran out of hours in the week, so bear with me. That's coming up there, along with a whole bunch of other stuff that we have in the archives but just haven't had a chance to get to yet. And don't forget, you can always hit up the Grind's MySpace page to check out past volumes of the Grind. A new feature that we have up there, you can click on the links and download them, but now you can also click the link, get a little bit of info on what the show is about, and you can stream it right there. You don't even have to download it if you don't want to, because I know some files are big, and you know, with a high speed internet it's hard to download big files or whatever. But, yeah, right now I'm feeling quite deaf. I don't know if it's all the metal that I've just been listening to. More than likely, it was the jam session that I attended earlier here in Lloydminster with a rockin' band. I think if you listen to The Grind, if you heard Volume 8, the Alberta Blend Edition, you're familiar with these guys. Their name is Instant Pink. I think I describe them as something like Refused, Getting It On in the Bathroom with some older style disco funk, and Instant Pink is their baby. It's just delicious. I don't know. Coming up next volume of The Grind, that's probably going to be in another couple weeks, we're going to have an interview with the boys from Instant Pink. But right now, I'm going to leave you with their song Shake Square on The Grind. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks back on Punk Radio Cast. I'm out.